For the fans, by the fans, you're listening to the Non-League Football Show thanks to Audio Boom. Coming up this week, are we all in it together? How crowdfunding could be the future for Non-League Football. Plus, with Non-League Day around the corner, we hear from the former non-leaguer turned Premier Leaguer.
You know, it's the lifeblood of football across the nation, really, isn't it? Non-League football. So many people are involved in it.
And who are you going to call? The bus jumping cameraman, of course. More on that a bit later. Let's bring in the team, like friends reunited this week, which is pretty much how our first guest lives his life. Former manager with AFC Wimbledon and friend to everyone, so he says, Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
Are you?
Nice to see you.
Is it?
Nearly.
Okay, thanks. And making a friend of clubs up and down the country, no enemies for him. PR man with the Evo Stick and Rhyme Leagues, Dave Waters.
Good evening, Caroline.
Yeah, when I say no enemies...
I've got a few, I'm sure.
Should we share this? Should this be a confessional? It feels a bit like that, doesn't it? It's the first time I've had you...
No, don't go there.
Stop it.
I nearly said no, it's not.
No, yeah. We have guests with us, so we're on our best behaviour. Yeah. A guest with us in the studio. More joining us throughout the show as well. You can be part of it too, at Non-League Show on social media. A new face in the hub this week. One of the driving forces of this year's Non-League Day, thanks to their association with Tifosi, James Pollock. Evening, James.
Good evening, Caroline.
I say thanks to association with Tifosi. What is Tifosi, James?
Okay, so Tifosi is a sports crowdfunding platform, and what we do is we work with football clubs and also other sports that we're moving into to help them raise money for important projects, causes and initiatives that they might have to improve and further the development of their clubs.
Yeah, which, Dave Anderson, being a man technologically advanced of years, makes perfect sense to you.
And dripping in sweat, by the way. It's about 180 degrees in here.
I know that's just being in my vicinity that does
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it is, it is.
So essentially, James, this is about using fans to help clubs raise money. So how's it working then with Non-League Day?
So, I mean, typically we'd work with a club and you'd get the fans of the club to nominate a project, something that they wanted to help the club to develop. And then through crowdfunding, which is basically internet-based funding, they would all put in a small amount of money towards that project target and eventually help that to happen. With Non-League Day, we met up with James Doe, the founder of Non-League Day, a little while ago, and he was really excited about the opportunity through crowdfunding to raise more awareness for Non-League Day itself, and also to raise some money for Prostate Cancer UK, which is their official charity partner. So that's what we decided to do. We launched a couple of weeks ago, and at the moment we're around £2,500 and looking to raise £10,000 by the time we get to the day itself.
Great amount to raise for the day. We are going to talk more about this later in the show, after we've expired through the sweat that's coming off our brow.
Because all the leagues are helping them as well, so we must mention that.
Okay, he just mentioned it, so that's
That would be the Southern League, the ESPN, and the Northern Premier League.
Good man. Let's chat about some other things, though, some other things you might have missed this week, apart from... Dave Waters, as he rightly just pointed out. And he's also drying his strip in a minute, which will be interesting.
He's hot.
Now, we're going to stop complaining about the heat.
Absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, everyone's enjoying the
You're cold just back from Rio, so you're freezing.
And it'll be winter soon, so let's just enjoy it.
It was winter in Rio. This week, you will have seen that the former chairman of the Football League, Greg Clark, was confirmed as FA chairman. We put a question out on social media about what would you want him to do to help the league. And as you can probably understand and probably appreciate, most people came back with three up from the National League. Yeah. Lots of people talking about funds distribution as well. What do you want from the new FA chairman, Dave Anderson?
Clarity. I want them to be honest and upfront in everything they do. And to be available for outlets like ourselves and other sort of people to answer questions on behalf of fans. I always think these people's, their heart's in the right place. I sometimes think that the agenda they get on can be totally, totally different than what supporters would actually like them to get on. So communication with the fan base is essential.
Myself, I've got a few things on my wish list.
How long?
No, not too long. Well, number one, it's a simple general one. It's more money, really. And just putting the resources into non-league that it deserves. It's it's the lifeblood of football in this country, and it's often ignored by the FA and things like prize money and stuff. But the other one, I'll give you an example of something this week. We just had the FA's Grounds of the Year awards. Yeah, so there's hundreds of groundsmen. They've all gathered at St George's Park. For my job, for the people I represent, I'm trying to get hold of them. Just the names of the winners, just the three people from each league. I've been trying now for a week to the FA's press office and the Institute of Groundsmen just to get nine names. How difficult could that be? And I've said it to other people at the FA before that they need to maybe even have like a dedicated department in their press office just to look after non-league. You know, the Premier League and stuff, they can look after themselves, let's face it, if it came to it.
They do have a couple that are working predominantly on non-league, on the FA Vars, on the FA Cup, the trophy.
They must have been away this week then.
But what they want, essentially what you're saying is you want a direct line to Greg Clark.
Yes, well, that would be good. Yes, thank you, Greg. But saying that, in his defence, one last thing. The first thing he's doing, actually, is going to see a non-league team. It's Friday night. He officially takes over, I think, next Friday, of September the 2nd or whatever it is. And he's going to see South Park and Dorking Wanderers in the two Ryman League clubs playing the FA Cup. And that is literally the first official game he's going
good
to. So that's quite nice.
Hottest day of the year, then, as we record this. So let's bring in some more heat to the situation. Colin Peake from the National League joins us. Hello, Colin.
Buenas noches, Sir Caroline.
Such an internationally travelled man. Colin Peake, of course, referring to the fact I was in Rio this week, which I've not mentioned, I don't think, at least
you've nearly
times.
Mentioned as many times as I've mentioned being a record breaker.
Yes, yes. Colin?
Yes, Caroline.
Oh, good. I was just checking you were still there and hadn't expired.
Waking up.
He's probably outside on the sun lounger talking to us. So we were chatting about Greg Clark coming in. Do you have demands at the National League? Is this the sort of thing that you would get maybe some time in to speak to him, sort it out?
I think the chairman of the FA is like the previous chairman of the FA. My personal view, I don't speak here on behalf of the league because we have delegates who sit on the FA. But, you know... As we saw with the previous incumbent, as I say, and a few more there in recent history, because there's been quite a few of them, not a lot has changed because, sadly, I still personally think it's bottoms up at the FA, that a lot of decisions are squashed, in different areas. And I think... until there is a radical change in the whole functionality of the FA, the chairman is just really going to be somebody who is a public face. Whether he can get any plans through or what his plans are is difficult. And I'm sure he goes into the job knowing full well that he will come with a lot of people having suspicions of him from the Football League Association. And that's not me being detrimental to him. I think anybody who comes into a top job of an organisation from another part of a similar sort of body should be sort of very concerned about how people do view him. But I don't think he will have any power in the FA than anybody else has ever had. Well,
to be fair, Piggy, and people probably won't believe this, but I actually agree wholeheartedly with the first half hour of your speech there. I think it's an excellent point that it's all right bringing a new guy in at the top, but you've got to sort the rest of it out as well. So now there's one for the books.
Yeah, we shall record that, and you can have that as your ringtone, Colin.
The first thing I'll do, and I've moaned about this for years, is the telephone system at Wembley. You try ringing somebody up and getting out of somebody.
Hey, Colin, my brother, I'm with you on that one. Yeah. It's true. He's right.
Colin Peake Appreciation Society.
It is tonight, Colin.
Yeah, for one night only, let me tell you.
Well, you're all not alone because money distributed from top down to teams needs to be at lower levels. More exposure for early rounds of the FA Cup. That's from Non-League Fan Zone. An immediate reallocation of TV monies, funding from the top to the bottom, say the Wealdstone Press Office. Spenny Fan Chris says more money coming down to non-league level. Sick and tired of the Premier League. So it seems a lot about spreading the wealth across it. James Pollock, who's with us from Tifosi in the studio. James, when we talk about distributing money from the top down, maybe some see it as a sense of entitlement that more Premier League money should come down to the bottom. I would say 44,000 clubs down this level need to hold the rest up. But can crowdfunding help in that way, do you think? Is that a model that maybe we'll see more in non-league football?
I think it can. I think that... what non-league clubs don't lack is passionate supporter base. And it doesn't matter actually which level you are within the non-league pyramid. You will find fans who understand what their situation is, what the context of the club is, and they want to try and support that. And you know, I mean, there are so many things that you can actually do with crowdfunding. You can you know, improve the club's finances by helping them to install a 3G pitch, for example, that would help them to get a commercial revenue from that.
Sorry to interrupt, but you were just saying before the show that you've actually helped Anfield Town sort of the same sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I mean, actually, Enfield are a bit of a pilot for us, and big shout out to the guys there. They've really sort of taken a big leap forward. They're a new club. They're only 15 years old, but they're a supporter-led club. Mm. And what we've structured for them is basically a subscription scheme whereby people can pay anywhere between £5 and £30 per month towards the club. And that will go directly into the operations budget of the club. And they've actually folded their season ticket scheme into that. So that if you're at £30 a month, you're getting your season ticket. You're also getting a program every time you go to the game. You're getting a beer every time you go to the game. And a replica shirt, of course. And that money is all going directly to support the club. And it also helps with cash flow because it's flowing on a month-by-month basis. Mm. And helps the supporter to pay for the season ticket because they're not having to shell out all in one go up front. Yeah. Mm. And they've got 39 people to sign up for that at different levels, you know, between £5 and £30, and they're now raising £775 per month. So that's really meaningful income, and that's more than they would get just purely from the season ticket alone. And those fans can feel quite proud that they're helping that club to develop.
And of course, there's other schemes that other clubs do, like lotteries and the like. Yeah. Waters?
No, I was just going to say, the other great benefit I think about crowdfunding is all our clubs all talk about engaging the younger generation, the next generation of fans. And it's almost perfect for them, isn't it? Mm. You know, I can't get my kids off their phones or whatever, but if they supported Carlton Athletic and they were looking at all their stuff on their phones all day long, then they're going to pick up this kind of thing.
One of the benefits that Enfield Town have folded into the scheme is even from the very basic, which is the junior towner, which is £5 a month for a child membership. Mm. They actually get the highlights of the match footage through the platform directly onto their phone or onto their laptop. So, you know, so for £5 a month, they're getting the junior towner membership, they're getting a replica shirt, but they're also getting those highlights every week, which is a nice way of keeping the club engaged.
Thankfully, Colin Peake is joining us via his smartphone as well, and he is still with us. Yeah. Colin, so that's one element. You've got a similar fundraising scheme that you've been doing with the National League that we're going to see presented this weekend.
Yes, we're very pleased that last year we nominated the Bobby Moore Cancer Fund as our charity to support, mainly so at the end of the time, which is obviously technically July, it coincided with the 50th anniversary of England winning the World Cup. And this Saturday, just coincidentally, but it's caused a little bit of media interest, we'll be presenting the cheque to Stephanie Moore, his widow, at Dagenham on Saturday lunchtime, which is only 2 miles away from where English Heritage last month unveiled a blue plaque to Bobby where his childhood home is. So it's almost like a bit of a homecoming. So it's a roost, and we're very pleased that our efforts have raised over £15,000 towards his charity, which is part of Cancer UK, but obviously in his case, bowel cancer.
I mean, great achievement from all the clubs I know that they put into that, and the fans too. So that's happening this weekend. But it's been a busy week, Colin, or a busy couple of weeks with managers coming and going in your league. We saw Chris Todd leave Eastleigh. We saw Ronnie Moore come in, who famously changed his Twitter bio from the best manager in the Football League to the best manager in the National League. We got Guiseley parting company with their manager. I hate that phrase, parting company. Essentially, he's gone. Club statement saying, struggling at the foot of the National League table, the board felt a change was necessary. So changes in management. It's going to be a tough league this year. It's always been a tough league, Colin, but the real trying to get out of the league when all those huge clubs in it.
Yeah, I think it's just demonstrates how competitive the National League is right across the whole spectrum. I mean, I've already seen in the opening 2 weeks 14 different clubs across those three divisions. And I have to say, you know, whilst Tranmere are the only club in the three divisions out of the 68 member clubs who've got a 100% win ratio, you know, the rest now are really finding it's competitive. And as we said back in the summer, when the new constitution was made, you know, the Vanarama North is going to be one hell of a league this year. Some massive clubs in there. You know, we've just seen in the last 10 days the opening of the new AFC Fylde Stadium. And I have to say, I went to that game. And all I can say is if you're going down the M55, just turn off at Junction 3. It's only 3/4 of a mile down. You can't miss it. It's a fantastic new stadium. And, you know, OK, everybody can't have one, but let's not, you know, run down those people who want to raise the standards, because the standards at Fylde now are poles apart from what it was previously. And they're going to be a serious threat to Blackpool and Fleetwood in that area on the Fylde coast, believe you me. But the results on the table are showing the same. You know, the clubs in the north are fantastic. Brackley, who everybody thinks is a pushover, went to Fylde, drew 1-1. I think they've only lost one so far. And when you look down the bottom, you've got Boston, you've got Worcester, you've got Nuneaton. It's going to be one heck of a season.
Yeah, Darlington going to the top. That was almost like a, I don't know, final score report then from Colin Peake, our reporter joining us. And also you could do travel reports too. It is a tough league, the Northern League. Darlington going back top as well. And we're going to leave you just there for a moment, Colin, because we're going to bring in another voice. Are you happy to stay with us? How's the Sangria and the Sun Lounger looking?
With Dave Anderson, as long as he holds my hand.
Not a problem.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show. You can get in touch with us at Non-League Show. Matt Elliott, formerly Leicester, started off in non-league football, gone all the way to the top, very much like yourself. Dave Anderson joins us.
Don't put that slant on the poor guy.
Evening, Matt.
Good evening. How are you all?
Well, hi, I mean, Matt. I know you're very fortunate to be in Dave Anderson's company. We are very well. We've got you in, obviously, because non-league day is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. James is in talking about that too, and the link with Tifosi. But for you, this was very much your heartland. This is where you started out, wasn't it, non-league football?
I did, many moons ago, yeah, more than I care to remember back in my time. When I was brought up in Epsom and played for a team called Epsom and Yawl.
Oh, we know
we knew them well.
Combined counties. Was that in the Ryman League, Matt, at the time?
It was a combination of it. I remember the Ryman League being mentioned, for sure, yeah. I think we ended up in a few different leagues, relegations and promotions. But, yeah, I think predominantly so, back in the day. I joined at the youth team level, elevated to the first team. And that was my experience coming up for the first time against some burly 6'3" mustachioed centre forwards back in the day.
Can I just ask you? And you also, you trained or played then at one of the worst grounds, wasn't it? In non-league football at the time, Merlin Rise. Didn't you? Isn't that where they used to play up at Bansted Athletic? Didn't you ground share?
Prior to that, it was actually just on the outskirts of Epsom, West Yawl it was.
Yeah, I know it. I know it well.
Being called Epsom Yawl, but then they went up to Banstead after that, yeah.
Were you, had you left by then, yeah?
It wasn't particularly top-class facilities back then, but for me, being a local lad, it was like playing at Wembley for a young age, and you know, something you aspired to. When I found myself playing in the first team, it was because I used to go and watch as a kid with my father and watch Epsom and Yawl, and then before I knew it, I was appearing for the first team. As I say, that was the highlight of my footballing career at that stage, and still have fond memories of it now.
And to be fair, Matt, you know, and not to bang non-league drum, which we obviously will do, but I just think that young players miss that opportunity now because of the academies and sort of playing sort of, I don't know, 17, 18-year-olds, all the same age group, where your opening line was you came up against a 6'3" moustache centre-forward, which probably was the base of you becoming who you were?
Yeah, I think certainly it helped in my case. You know, people find different routes, don't they? And some suit others more, some more than others, sorry. But I think for me, it works well. Yeah, I didn't quite agree with my manager's mentality. He told me to go and rake my studs down the back of this 6'3" mustachioed centre-forward leg. And I thought, no, I don't really want to make him angry.
Yeah.
But so I learned the way of the world in pretty sharply. But, yeah, I think without a doubt, people or youngsters these days that go through the professional circuit from an early age, they do miss out on that experience. I mean, I've spoken to many professionals at first-year pro level who've been released and they go into lower league or even non-league and they don't really know what's hit them.
Yeah.
They haven't come up with that
against that physical aspect. And, you know, it's a different kettle of fish for them, and I think they struggle. So in that sense, yeah, the physicality side of it, you do have to come to terms with it pretty quickly. But, you know, it's not just about physicality. No. There are good players in the non-league game these days because for lots of reasons, you know, some people find it more viable to work and play. The foreign contingent that have come over have pushed good English players or British players down the league a touch, and you know, some people want to play for fun and have other things in their life as well. But I love the experience as much as anything. For me, it was friendships that I made as well, which still stand to this day.
Did you, Matt? Sorry, it's Dave. The other Dave. Did you play in the FA Vase in or the trophy when you were down there at all?
Yeah, I did, but I don't recall getting too far at any stage. But Epsom Newell did.
Yeah, they got to the semi-finals or something, didn't they, once? I was thinking, was that you? Were you in the team? But
no, unfortunately, I just missed that. I think that was a few years prior. There was a couple of lads called Phil Walker and Dennis Lee, who actually went on to play for Millwall, I think. That team, I think the era just before me, went on and did quite well in that tournament. But no, by and large, I don't remember too many trophies being lifted.
maybe the Surrey Senior Cup or something like that, possibly. Yeah,
I was just going to say that, you know, that we're talking about this sort of physicality of it. I also meant, Matt, that the fact that you get to play first-team games, which I think is a big difference to a football dressing room.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, I mean, as I found out, the difference between, say, you know, average-level non-league and playing professionally, it's not as big as everyone says. Not in my view, because I know the level of player I was, and I never envisaged that I would be anywhere near playing Premier League football or even professional football, full stop, but I did. I ended up playing international football. And, you know, the chasm between non-league and professional is not that big, I don't think. It's manageable. You can learn a little bit. It's more down to sort of consistency, really, more than anything. And it was a great experience for me. I was 16 and a half, going 17, playing men's football. So it was, you know, quite a baptism of fire in that sense. And you had to learn quickly or you suffered. And, I think in a lot of ways, I probably developed quicker in certain areas of my game than I would have if I'd been in the academy.
And Matt, you mentioned your international career, but you went on to play for Leicester and would have been working with Martin O'Neill, who himself made those managerial roots in non-league football. We talk a lot about players, but managers making their roots in the game too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, unbelievably, I think Martin actually got the sack from Grantham, I think, at some stage in his career. He also managed a local Leicester team, which you may not have heard of, called Shepshed Dynamo. I think he was manager there for a little while.
Yeah,
they're our best friends.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, carry on,
though.
There
you go. But he, Martin, I mean, he won the European Cup as a player, but he decided that was probably the best route for him to go and learn it, you know, down at that level and learn his trade. And he certainly did. So, and to an extent, I think he carried it through to his latter days, you know, as a manager, or current days as a manager, because he doesn't overdo the tactical side of football. Yeah. You know, it's a lot about spirit, getting the right players in to do the right jobs. And it's not overly technical. It's probably changed a little bit. I was quite surprised how much emphasis it was on about the team spirit and the motivation and and being a unit, which probably, you know, is more prevalent in non-league football than the tactical side because of time that you're allowed, really, I suppose.
Absolutely. He's taken that with him, and look where it got him as well, you know, that passion.
Yeah, exactly, the passion side of it, which is evident. People play for love in non-league football. They're just not there for the money or the glamour. They do it because they love it. And Martin O'Neill, he had that quality about him, and that filters through the players. That's what gets the best out of his players.
We are going to let you go, but before we do, I know you're obviously doing the punditry work at the moment, very successful at that too, and you have obviously dabbled in management in non-league football. Is it something that you want to return to? Have you thrown your CV into a couple of non-league clubs?
I have to say no. It's something I enjoyed at the time, over at Hensford Town and Stafford Rangers. I did it alongside Tim Flowers, ex-teammate of mine, and then I took over after his departure. Yeah, and I found it very rewarding. It was good to be involved, hands on, and the attitude of the players was paramount for me, because if they weren't keen and up for it, then I would have found it frustrating. But I have to say, their attitude was spot on. They were working, you know, 9 till 5, most of them, and they came in enthusiastic, looking forward to training. I used to say to them, this is the highlight of your week. You want to play football. Let's enjoy it. Let's make the most out of it. And I did enjoy it at the time, but I've sort of ventured in other areas at the moment. But I would never say never. If the opportunity came along, I may find myself back involved.
Of course, in the meantime, you're supporting non-league day. Why does it matter so much to you?
Well, I think a number of reasons. I think, you know, it's the lifeblood of football across the nation, really, isn't it? Non-league football. So many people are involved in it. As I said before, it's purely for the love and the passion they have for the game. And I think, you know, people like to support. It often gets forgotten, maybe, in the modern world, but support your local team. You know, you've got that affinity and allegiance to back the club that is the area that you maybe got brought up in, or certainly are living in at that stage of your life. And it's nice to have that affection. And I think in terms of the charity as well, you know, Prostate Cancer UK, it's vital. It's vital that people are made aware of that, because, as we all know, it's an illness that men do like to sweep under the carpet and don't address the issues. And the more people are aware of it and they hear about it and they talk about it, the more those barriers will come down, and people will be able to get effective treatment early enough. And ultimately, you know, you can't ask for any better prize than that.
Hey, Matt, said, appreciate you coming on. Enjoy non-league day. And we'll talk to you again in the future when you're managing a non-league club.
I could be chairman out there listening now.
Yeah. Might be chairman by then. Yeah. Matt Elliott, thank you for joining us on the non-league show.
Nice to speak to you, Matt.
Good evening. All the best. Yeah. Cheers.
Off he goes into the distance. And Matt Elliott, former Leicester player, international as well. Still with us, Colin Peake, former international. I'm just internationalising you, Colin. We were just listening to that there, James. And, you know, when Matt says about the charity side of what you guys are trying to do, there are some shocking statistics when it comes to prostate cancer.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, James Doe is very vocal on why he wanted to link non-league day to prostate cancer. And I think prostate cancer do a lot with football, because they recognise it's a great way to talk to men. Mm. And as Matt just said, you know, unfortunately, you know, there is a bit of a nature of us guys. We don't tend to want to talk about those more sensitive topics or go to the doctor and get checked and all those kinds of things. And the reality is, you know, that 1 in 8 men are going to contract prostate cancer at some point in their lifetime. For a black man, that's 1 in 4. And those are frightening numbers. Mm. And you know, what Prostate Cancer UK are trying to do is to stop the disease from being a killer. And that means getting more people aware of their risk, getting better diagnosis of the illness when it does occur, and then better treatment. So every single pound counts that can be raised towards this important charity. And I think that's why we wanted to set up a campaign. Non-League Day themselves don't need money to be raised for them. So it just made a lot of sense that in this particular instance, we would rally the power of non-league football and indeed the 44,000 clubs that there are there to, you know, to try and do their bit and to try and raise more awareness for the non-league day, but also money for Prostate Cancer UK.
Excellent.
Non-league clubs always love a charity. They do, and the fans. So.
We'll talk more actually about the charity of non-league football with a rather funny, has a happy ending story in just a few moments. May not have a happy ending for Colin Peake, given that we've kept him on so long, his phone bill's probably gone through the roof. Still with us, Colin?
Still here, counting the shekels.
Oh, I had you turned off for a minute. Obviously, that was an honest mistake, Colin. So Colin's still here with us. Any other stories from the National League that we should be tickling this week, do you think, Colin?
Well, I just want to tell two little things. Number one, by the time this goes out on audio, boom, we have upgraded and enhanced our official website with a lot of new features, which I hope fans will find interesting. I won't bore you any more with that.
Please tell me there's a Talk Direct to Colin page where they can just phone you up and have FaceTime.
Well, got Periscope for that. Oh. They rang me all the time on Periscope. But the nice thing is you can just block them. Anyway, listen. When I see Dave Anderson drop up on the screen, it's block. A little a little interest, and I'm not pushing this from any personal point of view because I certainly don't, but I've been sent a copy of a book published or written by Dave Roberts, who was the author of the Bromley Boys in 32 programmes. He's brought another book out called Home and Away, and it's called Round Britain in Search of Non-League Football Nirvana. That sounds a bit like something opening a wardrobe and finding a witch in it or a lion. But anyway, it's a tremendous read, and anybody who wants to get into it, if I think it's good, well, Henry Winter thinks it's good as well. So, and I haven't been paid to say what I've just said. So all I can just say is, if you're interested, it's Dave Roberts' book called Home and Away. And I'm sure if anybody's interested in finding it, they'll probably find it through Bromley Football Club. But it's a cracking good yarn to read, probably for those days when people haven't got any football because the weather comes along.
When you bring your book out, here's Dave hopefully going to come and do the show. So well done, Colin Pig. You can find Colin on the Richard and Judy book club list as well. Colin Pig, thank you as always for your time.
Thank you. Wish everybody all the success for the season, and no doubt we'll bump into each other deliberately or undeliberately.
I can't wait.
Colin Peake from the National League, live and direct on the non-league show. Yes, Dave Anderson.
No, I read the Bromley Boys on Holiday a couple of years ago, so I'm actually going to maybe have a nosy at this one because it was good fun.
Thank you again for that recommendation.
Yes. People want about Bromley as well, aren't they? Yeah. They brought a film out, didn't they? That guy that came on the show.
He was talking about
Bromley Boys was made into a film. I'm glad you were paying attention.
No, but did he bring the film out? Did you ever see it?
I don't know.
I want to talk about a couple of other stories before we talk about Coachgate, which is now apparently a thing. Plymouth Argyle, did you see this week? Their reserves, who play in the South West Peninsula League, played 8 first team players in their match against AFC St Austell. AFC, for a bit of context, AFC St Austell, a decent side. They won, Argyle's reserves won promotion to the South West Peninsula last season. 6-0 they lost this match, AFC St Austell. There were tweets that went out afterwards. For those questioning, we have no issues with Plymouth Argyle FC. Said the club fully appreciate what they're trying to achieve. Wish them all the best for the remainder of the season.
Run that past me again. What, they only had 8 players?
First team. Plymouth Argyle, 8 of their first team players played in the reserves match.
Yeah, but that's...
All right, but they didn't get them win them promotion last season.
Hardly a new thing. I've played the whole
Argyle,
team.
So Plymouth Argyle, Football League Plymouth Argyle. Let me just run this by for save us. Yeah.
I'm about to make my point in a second. They're taking the mickey really out of the competition, aren't they?
No, they're not. As a footballer, no, I've nonsense. I've done it a million times. You have a bad result on a Saturday, and you've got the hump of your team, or you've different reasons.
But you stick eight of a football league team in a
whole first team in a reserve team game.
I know, but
to the fans
of the South West Peninsula League, though, who are dreaming of winning a championship and promotion to the either City League 7 or whatever.
They need to write to the league to tell them to change the rules because no one has broken the rules.
They might not have broken the rules,
non-league paper tweeted some comments from the league secretary, Phil Hiscock, quoted in the NLP article, was saying the SWP League has no say on eligibility rules in their divisions. We have sympathy, yes, but no rules to stop it. I understand they are players who have been on the bench in need of game time.
I can see why they've done it, Larissa. I just think that it isn't nice for that competition.
I think you've got to do what's best for your team. It's a selfish business,
It's a manager,
Bodmin Town, who were last season's champions, they also said, got to feel for AFC St Austell with the league allowing Plymouth Argyle to select so many first team players in their competition. But as we say, the league said it's kind of their hands are tied, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, I understand that story the peeing.
Until next season, because they can add a rule in, can't they, if they wanted to?
If they keep doing this all the way through the season.
Yeah. Other tweets. We were asking earlier about the new chairman of the FA and what you'd ask him. Ian said, spread the wealth more evenly. Criminal that non-league clubs fold, owing about half a day's pay for a Premier League Muppet, says Ian. But Hullabaloo, on the flip side, says, seeing people wanting money spread out, do they also want Asda to bail out the corner shop? Make clubs live within their means.
That's ridiculous.
That is seriously. Well, that's an interesting point.
Well, yeah, it is a good point, but it's
he's
not
just thrown back on it because he knows you're agreeing.
No, it is. It's
an interesting point, or is it?
It is, yes.
It's, It's interesting, but it's not the way we should be going.
But the difference between the corner shop and Asda is Asda and the corner shop are in competition. The Premier League and non-league aren't.
Mm. You know, on previous shows, we'd have to now say that other shops are available. We don't have to do that now.
Give us an hour beer.
But honestly, it's when you said earlier on at the top of the show, right, what would your... I just said money or whatever, yeah, and I didn't actually say about the TV rights deal. But the Premier League is a fact. It wouldn't last, I was going to say a really word starting with P and ending with ing, time, right, if in years to come there was no other football in this country apart from the Premier League living in isolation. Mm. You know, they get players coming through. You know, Les Ferdinand's part of Tifosi in the campaign with non-league day as well, isn't he? Where did he come from? You know, there is so much money. That's right. But there's so much money sloshing around, and a tiny, tiny little bit of it would do so much good. Mm. We've talked about this for many years.
If I can offer an opinion here, I mean, I think...
feel free, but Dave might shout it down.
I'm just very loud.
One of the reasons that we really saw an opportunity to support clubs here is because what's happening is that the top are only getting richer. And it really is an exacerbation of an existing issue, and the separation between the top and the bottom is getting worse. Now, exactly where the splits occur is interesting, because, you know, there's talk of a European Super League and a split within the Premier League to the top and then the bottom. Mm. But there are splits at numerous levels within the football pyramid, and I think that the FA is the governing body of the game, and they do need to do something or do whatever they can in order to try and rectify the balance. And
they are the only people, ultimately, that can do that, really.
Yeah, that's right. And at the end of the day, a non-league club is not a company in quite the same sense as a corner shop is versus an Asda. A lot of them are volunteer organisations. They don't have the luxury of paying their staff, etc. So I do think that there is a slight difference in that analogy, and I think that, you know, I mean, that's a little bit why we're there as well, because we hope to help clubs to develop a more sustainable financial future and try and just level that playing field a little bit more. But I think the FA play a role.
You're doing a great job, and we'll do a great job for non-league day, but with the great respect, James, you ain't going to fill that funding gap with TV rights, you're not going to raise $2 billion.
That's not what we're trying to do. We hope to make a small difference.
It all helps. I understand both sides of the argument. I understand that the Asda versus the corner shop, where why should the big boys fund the little sides? But the bottom line is, it all comes out of where we are. Our level of football, it's not called grassroots running, is it?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm just looking at...
I'm disgusted with you.
Plenty of reaction to that particular question, and we'll keep it going. Yeah. You can keep the conversation going at Non-League Show throughout the week.
Or phone Piggy, he'll keep any conversation going.
Now, while we let Colin Peake go to answer all those phone calls that you've suggested people give him a ring on, Dave, although we didn't give out his number, so that's good.
No.
Well done. That's for future weeks.
I'll tweet it later.
He will not.
No,
I won't. We talk a lot about the non-league family. James has obviously been expressing that fully with non-league day on its way to... we should point out, if you hear things in the background, we are so hot, we're now having ice lollies added to the beer. So tonight's show is brought to you by beer and ice lollies, and not just from Asda. Other shops are available. Next to a story of a non-league love affair and how the grassroots game can rally in a time of crisis, let's bring in Ben Cox. He was a cameraman on the Camberley coach, but I'll let him explain more. Hiya, Ben.
Hiya, Caroline.
So,
basically Saturday, en route to Bishop's Cleeve in Cheltenham, filmed the FA Cup first preliminary round with Camberley Town. And the coach pulls in the memory services. The guys are going, we've got plenty of time here, we can have a bit of brunch, get ourselves together, get back on the coach and head off to Bishop's Cleeve. And for one reason or another, I'm the last person to go and get food and last person to sit down, last person to start eating. But I'm keeping a bit of an eye on Dan Turkington, the Camberley manager, and some of his coaching staff that he's sitting with, thinking, well, if I keep an eye on them, then I know I'm okay. I see them get up to go and I'm like, okay, I better start whiffing this down a little bit quickly. So I do that and I'm literally, I can't be more than about 90 seconds behind them. And I go down the travelator, go out the exit of memory services, look across the coach park and go, okay, that's great. There's no coach. Where is the coach? It's like, what the hell? So I'm thinking, I'm a bit disorientated. I have a bit of a bad night anyway because my day job, I'm on call quite a lot and I was getting calls at 3 and 5am. So I was a little bit strange anyway, if I'm going to be honest with you. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll come out the wrong exit here. So So I go back into the services thinking, no, hang on a minute. There is only one way in or out of it. So that's definitely not the problem. So I go back out again thinking, well, maybe I wasn't looking properly. And no, definitely no coach. So then I think, okay, right, I need to ring them then and let them know they've gone without me. Ah, but where's my phone with all their numbers on? Of course, it's in my jacket that's in the coach. I'm like, oh, great, what do I do now? Which was like, I was in a bit of a mini panic at that stage. So I thought, okay, I've got my work phone, who do I know? Sorry?
Did you have some money on you still? Your wallet, was the wallet in on the coach, did you say, as well?
No, my wallet I had with me, fortunately, which was quite handy, yeah, as I was buying food and stuff. So, yeah, wallet and my work phone I took. So I thought, I've got my work phone.
It never helped Dave because he's got no money in his wallet. Carry on, sorry.
So basically, I ring the boss of FC Video and say, right, I know you're en route to Boreham Wood to go and film them, but you need to pull over because you're going to have to phone somebody at Camberley Town on that coach and ask them if they're missing something. And when they realise they are, you're going to have to come up with a plan of how I get to Bishop's Cleeve, because I'm clearly stuck at memory services.
So really? How did it? So all that happened. How did you end up then on the Fleet Town coach?
Right. Okay. Now that was, so I then basically my boss Lee Carpenter of FC Video, he then rings and gets hold of Sam, who's one of the coaches of Camberley, had his number. Sam then rings me and says, yeah, we've messed up a bit here, haven't we? What are we going to do? And he said, I'll tell you what you could do. I don't know if you noticed, but there was another football team in memory services. I went, kind of vaguely saw some guys in blue. He went, yeah, that's Fleet Town. He said, do you want to go and ask them and see if maybe they might give you a lift down to us? Because we've come off at the next junction and we're sort of off the slip road and in a hard shoulder. And I'm like, really? I'm going to go and speak to some complete random strangers that I don't know and say, hey guys, guess what? I've been left behind by Camberley Town. Any chance of a lift?
And that's exactly what you did.
And that's exactly what I did. And they were fantastic. They put me in the coach. I had to wait 5-10 minutes for them to finish up. Got on their coach. I got loads of banter, as you can imagine.
Oh, bet you did, boys. Yeah.
You know, well, you might as well stay on our coach. You can film our game. Yeah, that would be great if I had the camera and tripod here, but they're on the other coach. Yeah, you can ask. You need to tell Turks he's going to have to throw a game now as a favour next time we play. You know, all that sort of stuff. It was fantastic. And yeah, brilliant boys. And they dropped me off at the next junction, got off their coach, walked across to the Camberley one, walked up the stairs, and of course, massive round of applause from all the players and everyone on Camberley. And I'm like, I don't know what you're applauding for. You're the ones that left me behind. And they go, no, you got lost. I'm going, no, you left me behind.
Unbelievable.
Well, Ben, well done on Fleet Town. Well done on Camberley.
I wouldn't say, though, Kaz, if he was a centre-forward, they wouldn't have left without him.
I was going to say.
You know what? If I was a centre-forward, they definitely wouldn't have left me. Sure. Camberley this season, they need a centre-forward or two.
Ben, well, you know what?
Brilliant.
Keep your eyes open next time. And make sure you're a bit closer.
Well, I'll just try and make sure I'm not the last one to get food, obviously. Yeah. I'm going to have to push in, aren't I?
It's unlikely in a non-league football team. Well, at least the ones I've been around with.
Yeah.
Ben, enjoy your night. Thank you very much for coming on.
Brilliant.
No problem at all. Take care,
Ben.
Good evening.
Ben, and the author of Coachgate, which, you know, we know Colin likes to tell a good story, but Ben tells a good story.
But there's a difference. You can't see Mourinho phoning Wenger and going, we've got a cameraman. Could you pick him up at the next junction? Exactly. It just doesn't happen.
Even less likely to do it if it's a star striker.
Yeah. That's
almost it from us. James, if people want to get in touch, they can, because they can buy T-shirts, they can buy jumpers, which clearly we need in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
Can they buy bikinis? Because that's what we need.
Unfortunately, there aren't any non-league day bikinis, Caroline. But
so basically,
if you get into the campaign, it's at www.tifosi.com/NLD16, and there you'll find there's lots of things to get. You get signed Gianluca Vialli books, you can get Gianluca Vialli thank you personalised message that we'll record on a phone and get sent to you, and t-shirts and hoodies which are great. But the really exciting one is actually we've got St George's Park for a five-a-side tournament, weekend of 10th and 11th of September. We're getting a few of the sort of legends of the game down there as well to give prizes. And basically, if you enter a five-a-side team there, I'm going to do a special offer. So if you get a five-a-side team entered into that competition, then we will also throw in a signed Gianluca Vialli shirt. So anyone who goes onto the site, www.tifosi.com/NLD16, go and look out for that and get involved. And every single person who enters the competition or enters any kind of contribution to the campaign from here until the end will be eligible for a special prize, which I understand that we're going to be able to do, which is a space in this very show.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't know about this, boys.
No, that I did, because they have to bring some beer with them when they go through the door.
You got enough here.
Yeah.
No. Yes. So also, if you do go onto the website and you do have a look at that, you will be entered into a special prize to come and join us in the studio.
Yeah.
A bare naked chested Dave Watters.
I wonder where you're going with that.
And me.
And you,
bare naked
yeah.
chested. Yeah, so go have a look at the website, and we're doing that as part of Non-League Day. Although Dave Anderson's away on holiday for a week, so that's why you won't see him at St George's Park. So that's why we were so keen to get you to meet Dave Anderson in person.
To get it done.
So it will happen later.
But listen,
I have to say it's been an honour.
Yeah, well, you have to say that.
Surprising what a few beers though, isn't it? But what I would say is St George's Park, who wouldn't want to play there? You know, it's like right. a real, it's one of them places, like a mecca of football it's going
to
become.
Just to go and see it, actually, the
to go and see what they do, how they do it.
It's like going to the Maracanã, which some of us have done recently. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you to everyone that's been in touch with the show at Non-League Show. You can keep your thoughts coming in on the chairman of the FA, on whether Plymouth Argyle should be allowed to play some of their players in the SWP, on anything that you've heard throughout the show. You can get in touch at Non-League Show. That's it for this week. You can, of course, find us, as you have done, at our new home on Audio Boom. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio 2. You can also put us on your website, which isn't as complicated as it sounds. Just go to nonleaguefootballshow.com for more information, and keep in touch throughout the week at Non-League Show. Good night.
Oh, magnificent.
What, me or just the show?
Oh, everything.
Oh, I could. He's had too many.